Accession number 27786, Mr. Jack Fisk, Reel 2. We're talking about your training for a few months at the HMS Collingwood Shore Station at Fareham from April 42, I think, to July 42. We're talking about sort of typical training sessions. Well, we talked about drill. What about seamanship? You mentioned, what sorts of things, you were learning to be a seaman.
That's right.
What sort of seamanship did you learn? I mean, you mentioned knots and splices. How much did you do?
Well, as you say, knots and splicing of wires and ropes, and also about the what they call the block and tackle.
What's
which,
that?
Which is where you pull in ropes with a heavy item, and it's got the pulleys each end. And we need quite a bit of that work because there is quite a bit of use of that in the Navy.
What about cutters and whalers? Did you do any sailing?
Yes, we did not so much sailing, but we had to do the rowing in Portsmouth Harbour.
What was that like?
Every time you pass a ship, you've got to lift an oar up, which you could hardly lift up anyway. I mean, looked a bit of a shambles sometimes, but anyway, I think they quite enjoyed it, you know. It was the chief shouting and hollering at us all day, never seen such a shower and all that lot, you know.
Were you still learning how to box a compass, things like that?
Oh yes, yeah, that was another session.
Did you have a seamanship manual that you had to learn?
Yes, a seamanship manual. Unfortunately, I haven't got it. I haven't got one now. I don't know where it went.
But you just work through that, would you?
Yes. Yeah. And yes, he was. You had to quote things from it. You know, learn from it.
And what about? Was there a masthead yet to climb? You know, there is at Ganges.
No.
Well, there is at
Collingwood. No. There is one at other places, but a natural fact, there is a mast at Collingwood, but I never saw anybody climb it.
Now, what about physical training? Because, you know, to get you fit.
Physical training, we every day.
So what were you doing to get fit?
Oh, everything, especially climbing ropes, and up the walls was ladders, you were climbing them, and on a certain order, I can't remember, it was something like a way there. Every time he said that, and he could say it any time, you had to get up top of this ladder. No matter what you were doing, you had to get up. Which, when you're at sea, you can imagine, you can see why. You know.
And what about the end, route marches or cross-country runs?
Yes, we did a route march in Portsmouth Saturday morning. And then I only done one, but I felt quite proud.
And what about cross-country running?
No, I didn't do anything.
Assault course? Was it an assault course?
No.
So, that seamanship training, PT, what else were you doing?
Gunnery, of course.
Now, tell me about the gunnery.
We did 7 weeks seamanship at Collingwood, and then you followed on with 3 weeks gunnery.
Where was that at?
At Collingwood.
That's right. Now, tell me about the gunnery course.
Well, the gunnery course is usually we worked on the 4.5s. And it's quite heavy enough.
Now, tell me about what was gun drill like.
The gun drill was fine. I didn't mind it. It was all right. And I've never regretted it all through my life. Is when I've had to take part in some kind of exercise where it involved several people.
So, do you remember the gun drill? What did each member of the team do? Or crew?
Well, there was a gun there, I can't remember what now. Each one had a spot on the gun.
And what were you usually? Or did you know them all?
Well, you had to do them all. You had to do them all, you know. But one thing I must say is that if anybody misbehaved while they was in on the gun drill, they had a habit of them telling them to carry a shell round the
parade ground.
Yeah, around the parade ground. And I didn't know, you know, they used to watch it after that, but I felt sorry for them.
And you were just, the thing is, you were just learning the 4.5. Did you learn any other guns, any anti-aircraft or anything?
Well, the smaller guns, of course, we were
Which
learning
one?
The Oerlikon. Oerlikon and Lewis guns. And, of course, we rifles. On at that time.
I'll come back to that. So, what did you think of the Oerlikon and the Lewis?
All right, fine. Yeah, yeah. We thought it was very useful. And when we was on the learning guns, we used to have to go into what they called a dome, and the dome was it showed aircrafts and the sound of them. Coming around, you don't know where they are, but you're behind the gun, and you've got a yellow dot, a yellow light on the gun, and your sight is, of course, yellow. The gunnery officer, he can tell whether you're anywhere near the by the spot, the light as it comes down. And I used to enjoy it, you know, it's quite good.
What about rifle training?
Rifle training, well, we did a bit of that, you know. Not a wonderful lot. But we did it, but it came in handy later, because we used to shoot mines.
Were you a good shot? I mean, with the training, did they give you...
Reasonable, I think.
Did you get much of a go while you were at Collingwood to actually shoot?
No. We went on the range. One session. That we could.
So not much chance to improve then.
Not a lot now. I suppose we have 3 or 4 shots each. And then all the hand grenade. We don't know about that as well. Yeah.
Did you actually throw?
Not live. No, not live ones. No.
So just dummy ones.
Yeah.
Any other types of training? Were you doing any signal training?
No, I wasn't a signal. No.
So you didn't do any at all?
No.
Anything else you were learning at Collingwood?
No, I don't think so. No.
Now, how did you get on with the other lads? You
fine,
know,
fine. No bother at all.
Yeah. Were they the same sort of background as yourself?
Yeah. There was one that was picked out before we really assembled, and he was a CW candidate, and he was
a commission warrant or what?
No, it's a probation thing, I think, for an officer. But he was the leader of the class. You didn't elect him; he was elected. And
did you make any special pals there, or was it just you weren't there long? But I mean,
no, not really. You know, we mucked in between us, like, you know, went ashore when we could afford it, because we was only getting. I was getting £20 a fortnight.
£20
a fortnight. Yeah, and I had to send a lot of my name to the mother. She insisted that I send it. And when I thought she was saving the money for me when I come home and leave. When I asked for it, she said, oh no, she said that's money that I'm using to save the room for you. So I wasn't too pleased about that, but that's what she did all the war.
Now, what about the instructors? What did you think?
Well, we had a marvellous one, you know.
Why? What was so good about him?
Well, some of these old boys, he'd returned to the Navy after being retired as a chief petty officer. And some of them can be very nasty, you know. But this chap, very good. And if you found that you were doing something wrong, you felt a bit guilty, you know. But, and he had a way of talking to you where the others just bullied him, you know, but he was very good.
What, in what way would the others bully you?
Well, of course, I only had one instructor.
Ah, you only had the one.
I mean, the most of these photos you see, you'll see a bloke sitting in the middle. There's one there, sitting in the middle.
And that's the instructor.
Chief, you see. And he would be the instructor for you for the time that you've spent at Collingwood.
Now, anything else about your time at Collingwood you remember?
Did a bit of boxing.
Tell us about that. Have you done much boxing before?
No, I did a little bit. I just put my name down. I didn't think they called me to do it. But they did, and I got a medal there somewhere. And I've been back to Collingwood through this shipmate thing. And nobody's ever seen one before.
So what? How was the boxing organised?
Well, by choice. That's about it.
And, I mean, would you fight just one fight, or was it several
well,
fights?
Well, I did on this particular occasion, yeah. Yeah.
Are you a good boxer?
I think I won. I wouldn't say I was a good boxer.
Anything else about Collingwood?
Well, all I know is it was a 10 o'clock leave, and it was a long way to the station, bus stop, and when you were walking back about 5 to 10, and the gate doesn't seem to be getting any nearer, and then he starts to blow the steel for lowering the flag, and that. And you still got a couple hundred yards to go, you know. But if you get in there after 10, you've had it.
Was that when you went out? Would you go out into Portsmouth Fair?
Oh, yeah, of course. You've got to show your uniform up.
So what would you do when you went out?
Well,
you go drinking, or?
Well, we'd have a couple of pints, I suppose, and then we'd go to the dance hall.
What were the dance halls like? That's in Portsmouth or Fareham?
There's an ATS at Fareham, I think it was, and Portsmouth. Well, it wasn't too bad at all. Got some wives here, I can't say.
What were the dance halls like? What were the dance halls like? They don't really have dance halls now. People don't know what they're like.
Fine. They used to play the old dances, and Paul Jones, and then
there'd be a live band.
Oh yeah.
Was it drink, or were they dry?
No, you could drink. No. Yeah.
And then the rush back to the barracks.
That's right. And of course, when you get a suit. Oh, well, when you get a suit there, it never really fits you, not as you wanted, what they call the tiddly suit.
So what was a tiddly suit?
Suit was a suit which had been altered, an old tight jumper, and the bottoms were increased in width, and that was done by a little old lady in Portsmouth who used to live at number 27 Queen Street. And she'd do this complete suit for half a crown.
That's adapting your old suit
to us, yeah. And it used to be such a tear off of the ferry to get to this 27 Queen Street, because she took it in rotation, you see. And you'd be sitting there all night with no trousers on and waiting for your trousers. And then, of course, you started to sweat when it got a bit late. And that woman was called Mar Jones, and I think anybody who was at Portsmouth knows the name very well indeed. Very old, and a sister, oh, there was a one that ironed, and she was about 60.
Anything else? Or is that...
I can't remember anything.
You seem to have finished it, well, it was about 3 months, wasn't it? July, 43.
That's right, yeah. Ten weeks you do, yeah.
And then there's Europa. Now, what's Europa?
Yeah, Europa. Now, when you finish your train, you don't know where you're going. You don't know whether you're going on the battleship or anything, but the Europa was the Royal Naval Patrol Service base. Royal Naval Patrol Service. And the Royal Naval Patrol Service was the small ships, such as trawlers, bims, motor vessels, and I was on the yachts as well from there.
So now, so you'd go to the Royal Naval Patrol Service. That was HMS Europa. Now, where was HMS Europa?
Lowestoft. Lowestoft, yeah.
Was it an actual ship or was it a storm?
No, it was. Originally it was a ship.
Yeah. But now it was a
years
short
ago. Fish. Yeah, years ago.
So you went there in July.
42, yeah.
And you were there till September.
Yeah.
But or is that where?
No, in the meantime, I went to Lochinvar, HMS Lochinvar, in Queen's Ferry, in Scotland.
Now that's not on your list. So
no, it comes under Europa, you see.
It's all under Europa.
Yeah, because that's where we learnt the minesweep.
So what did you do while you were at Lowestoft first? What were you doing there?
Waiting for a ship.
You're just waiting?
We're waiting. We were in billets there.
What were the billets like?
I was lucky, I had good ones, but some lads didn't. Some of them, they had about eight to a room, little box room with bunk beds, and one particular one is a very good friend of mine said that when they use their chamber pots, and the woman said, "Don't you do it in that chamber pot," she said, "because it might rust the springs." the food apparently was shocking at one time, and there was several complaints about it.
But what were yours like?
Your mum was all right, yeah, fine.
And what were you doing while you were at Lowestoft? I mean, you were in billets. Just wait. Were you just waiting, or were you doing anything?
Just waiting for
you
ship.
Mentioned a yacht.
Yeah, I was on a yacht. Yeah.
While you were at Lowestoft?
No. Well,
later.
That was my next ship.
So After a bit in billets at Lowestoft, what happened there?
Yeah, well, while I was under Lowestoft, I was doing a bit of this minesweeping at Queen's Ferry.
Now, so you detached up to Queen's Ferry?
Yeah.
And which one minesweep were you on there?
Well, I was on three.
Are these the Tana, Gnu, and Fiona? And it's got Virginia next to it.
That's South Africa, that is.
That's South Africa.
Yeah. Now, this will be Europa at that stage.
So it's only a couple of months.
It's only three. I was only out there 3 weeks.
And what were you doing up at
Queensbury? Learning minesweeper. First of all.
Tell us about that. What did that involve?
Well, all you did was I think one was a paddle steamer, and the old man, which of course was the skipper, he used to play a bell because a lot of the lads used to get on one side of this paddle steamer, and it would make it go round in circles instead of straight, you see, because it would go deeper down that side. He said, "All around." But anyway, all the lads used to do a bit of minesweeping off it and learn how to minesweep.
What is it to learn? What were you learning?
Well, you've got to minesweeping is quite a job. You've got to put gear over the side and the
what gear?
Well, it's gear to attach to your sweep wires. The sweep wires cut the mine wires, and it's quite a performance getting these things in and out of board. You know.
That's what you were practicing on, up at Queensbury.
Right. Yeah,
but not for long.
No, 3 weeks.
And then what?
Then I suppose you were a seaman, and then you went to Lowestoft and you waited for the ship. And the ship, my next ship was HMS Virginia.
Now, what's that about? Where was HMS Virginia?
In Birkenhead.
And was it a ship or a shore station?
No, that was a ship. That was my first ship, actually. That was HMY.
His Majesty's yacht.
Yeah. Virginia. It belongs to the silk manufacturers called Coulthold. You know them?
Yeah. Heard of them.
Yeah.
And
they took it over. It was apparently out in the East Indies, but West Indies. And they sent a crew out there to bring it back. That's a chap that I've been in contact with, actually, who was on there at that time. He is in Australia, and he was telling me that that's where he picked it up, is in the West Indies.
Now, tell me, can you describe HMS Virginia? This,
oh, I can show you the
yacht. There's no point because they can't see it. Can you just describe her for us?
Well, it was...
How big was she?
Same as a Corvette. She's about 500-600 ton. And had bunks. Didn't have any hammocks, no room for hammocks. Had bunks, the seaman's quarters were up forward, and the officers were aft. And
was it entirely sail powered, or did they have engines as well?
Not sail. It was an engine, twin screw actually, and it was all right. But I was on it a couple of years. And
how many crew were there?
50 odd. And my action station on there was Pip's house. I dropped him off the engine and I was in there.
Can you describe what you used to do then?
What, as a seaman or?
No, as a on the depth charge.
Well, on the depth charge, of course, when your bell went, you grabbed your club, up forward. My position was the farthest place aft, and the depth charges were loaded on racks. And then when you got your orders, you set your depth charges.
The fuses?
And you got keys on there, and you might set them at 50 fathom or 50 feet or 250 feet, and just keep the keys. And the way they went. And then also, we had two throwers, which threw them off over the side. And shot them off over the side. And so, four throws actually for the pattern of 10, all told. That's one pattern. But when once you've done that, you'd reload your depth charges into your racks again. We carried about a 60 depth charges. And this Virginia was not a minesweeper, it was for escorting. And that is what we did on the Virginia.
Now, you were based at Birkenhead?
Really? No.
No.
I picked my ship up at Birkenhead.
So, where were...
And then from there, after the trials, we took it to...
Now, tell me about the trials. What do you remember of the trials?
Well, the trials is when a ship has a refit, and which apparently this one did. You didn't have to take the sea, test all the equipment, the guns, the net, and the compasses, and all the equipment, and then you get your sailing orders when you, and then from Liverpool or Birkenhead, we went to Londonderry, and from Londonderry, we went. We were escorted, and half a convoy. We went escorted some to America, but we didn't go to America. We got changed halfway through, and we were bringing another convoy back.
So you were on Atlantic convoy. That's the
yeah.
Now, tell us about a typical Atlantic convoy then, or half an Atlantic, you know, going halfway across.
Yeah.
What would it be like?
Well, there have been lots of ships, sometimes 40, 50 ships in a convoy. And on one particular occasion, quite early, we had the orders to pick up survivors. And we were what they call the tail end Charlie.
Now tell us about picking up the survivors.
Well, the ship goes down and they don't stop pick anybody up, so we're the last ones in the convoy, and we're told then to watch out for any survivors, and we shut off the engines and pick them up. It's
on nets,
very satisfying, but it's when you're shut down, your engines, and it's all dead quiet, and you know there's a U-boat there. You know, it's
did you put out nets for them, or do you use boats?
Yeah, you put the nets down, yeah. And you go down and get manned up, but most of them were a bit oily and slippery.
And what state were they?
Well, most we picked up were reasonable. You give them a tot of rum, and, you know, and they weren't too bad. We'd have a job to get their names and numbers and off them, but especially if they're Alaskans.
And what else do you remember about the Atlantic convoys?
Rough. The seas were rough.
Did you have any problem with seasickness?
I did when I first, but that
How
was
bad?
On the first, on the Charles out of, on the Virginia. Oh, well, pretty bad, I thought. I don't think you've been ill, you've been seasick.
How long did it last for you?
A few days.
And did you get it again, or was that it? Just one?
Yeah, I think you can get it. You're not so bad, but I think you get it quite.
And what was the weather like? What affected the rough weather? What was it like in rough weather?
Well, being on a small ship, we would get knocked about a bit.
How much? What sort of damage?
Well, quite a bit, yeah, quite a bit. You know, with the rolling, and we were only young sailors, you know. We hadn't been too many ships, and you know, especially like that. And you wonder why you join the Navy.
Was there much damage to the ship?
Not at that particular occasion, no. But later on, in a few months' time, we ran into some bad weather. And we had to call into a place called Loch Hugh, that's in the north of Scotland, where we had really bad damage, you know.
What had been done?
Well, the staunching of the Lewis guns was, which was at a staunching like that, about that round, and the steel, they were bent right back, and several superficial damage in the superstructure.
You were in the escort, weren't you? I mean, did you have any contact with U-boats or
well, yeah,
at,
oh
that
yeah,
state, at that stage?
No, I hadn't. We hadn't at that stage, no. But we'd had them in the convoy, you know, but unless you got a contact, you didn't do much about it. You just stopped in line to cover the part of the convoy. You know.
Now, what was your mess deck like? Can you describe your mess deck?
Well, it's got bunks, and that's where we slept and all that.
What were they like?
But the where you were, actually, we had like what used to be the lounge part of the yacht, of the private yacht, and it wasn't bad. It was all fitted out with the wooden panelling and all that kind of, and that's where we ate the meals.
And were the bunks comfortable, or would you prefer?
Oh yeah, I found them all right, you know. But the only one thing about it is that we had to, especially in later in the time in the when it was a bit hot, we used to come off watch and take your clothing off. and put it on the deck exactly where you know where it is. And when the say you come off watch at 8 o'clock, and then you start your turn in, you see, and you put your knee, and the sirens go about 12:15 or something like that. You grab your gear, and I told you how to run off, and I'm down there, and I've got two shirts and no trousers, so two shirts, a trousers and no shirt. And somebody's put their gear on top of mine, and that's what used to happen. And that.